Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. And Lord willing, this morning we will conclude our series of lessons on David, a man after God's own heart. We began this month by talking about David's response when confronted with sin. We talked about David's joy in serving the Lord and all that that meant. And we saw last week in 2 Samuel 24 and 1 Chronicles 21, David's spiritual maturity. It was hard to know exactly how to conclude this month. There are still a handful of lessons that I thought about presenting and I would like to do perhaps in the future at some point. But I wanted to simply highlight, go throughout David's life and highlight one of the central themes that I see. And that is that David pursued a relationship with God his entire life. And in particular, was faithful until the end. I want us to see, to get a glimpse of David's deep desire to serve God, no matter what it is that was going on in his life. And so let's begin in 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. It's 17 is really where we'll begin. I'm sorry. It's interesting to me. When the statement is made to Saul that the kingdom has been taken away from you, it says God has found a man after his own heart. 1 Samuel 13 in verse 14. When Samuel goes to anoint David, as we talked about in class this morning, he sees Eliab and he thinks, well, this has got to be the king. He looks so kingly. He's tall, he's athletic. This has got to be our God. And God's statement to him is, I'm not looking at the outward appearance. I'm looking at the heart. You see, even in David's youth, David was somebody whose heart was set on serving God. This isn't something that developed over time, that maybe once he's in his 60s or 70s, then he can start being someone after God's own heart. Even in his youth, his heart is one that God looks at and sees purity and sees hunger and sees a desire in order to serve Him. And I think that you can see David's faithfulness in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We always look at the story of Goliath when he defeats the giant at the end of the chapter. You know, but he's faithful in the small things. He in 1 Samuel 17 in verse 20, he's supposed to carry supplies to the battle line. So he gets up early and he makes sure that his sheep, it says in verse 20, have somebody to look after them. He's a good shepherd, verses 34 through 37, because he's looking after the needs of the flock, even at the expense of his own safety. As he is willing to fight off the lion and the bear in that particular context. And after David kills Goliath, you talk about popular. Everybody wants to be David's friend. Everybody wants to shake his hand. Everybody wants to get to know him. And if you look in 1 Samuel 18, after this dramatic event where he has killed the Philistines and they come back from killing the Philistines and they won the battle after that particular event and everybody is joyful and everybody's dancing, people have written songs about him. In verse 7, the women sang and played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, David his tens of thousands. They're honoring the king here, but David is included in their honor. You know, this is a great time for this young man. He just killed the Philistine and he's becoming wildly popular. As you read the rest of 1 Samuel 18, Saul makes him military commander and his popularity rises with the people even more. He becomes the king's son-in-law in 1 Samuel chapter 18, raising his significance within the society. Not to mention the fact that the one who killed Goliath in 1 Samuel 17 was going to get all types of wealth and all types of riches and blessings and honor from the king. David was popular. David was becoming wealthy. David had a prominent position on a good career track. And he married into the most wealthy family and most powerful family in the nation. And yet when you look at David, you don't see someone filled with pride and arrogance. You don't see someone who begins to boast in his accomplishments and think how great that he is. But the text emphasizes his success ultimately comes from God. And it emphasizes this twice. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 12, the Lord is with David. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 14, the reason for his success is because the Lord is with David. Even when David is successful, even when everything is going David's way, David remembers who has blessed him, who has helped him, and the reason for his success. And he gives thanks to God. Even in David's youth, he is a man of great faith. Even in David's youth, he is faithful in the small areas and in the big areas. He is humble despite his success, and he recognizes that God is the one who's responsible for his success. All of this is long before he reaches the age of 30. If young people, you need a good example of what it looks to have a heart for the Lord in your early years, David is a great example. He is a youth whose heart is pure and whose desire is to serve the Lord. But you know, David's life was not one destined to live in ease. And it took me several years of reading the stories of David, and I'm a slow learner, but eventually for it just to dawn on me that this guy's life really wasn't very comfortable. It was filled with pain. It was filled with sorrow. You know, we think, oh man, I'd love to be like David, be king. He experienced so much throughout his life. And it's not long after he begins to experience this success. And often young people don't deal with success very well, but David is dealing with it well. And it is as he is experiencing this success that Saul becomes suspicious of him. And he makes him public enemy number one. He first wants the Philistines to kill him in battle, but David keeps going out to battle and he keeps winning battle after battle, and that's not working, so we're going to have to change gears. And so he wants and takes steps to kill David. You might handle success well, but how are you going to respond when your life is in danger and you're on the run? Again, all of this is well before he's age 30, because he becomes king at that age. And you know, we might say, well, you know, if someone powerful was after our life, you know, kind of give some, deduce some things that we might think or we might feel. And you see some of David's frustration, I think, if you read 1 Samuel 19 and 1 Samuel 20. He runs for his life. He goes to Samuel. He tells him everything. He talks with Jonathan extensively about it. Why is your father trying to kill me? But you know, if you open the book of Psalms, there are four Psalms that in their heading tell us were written at a time when David was running from Saul. And that's Psalm 52, Psalm 54, Psalm 56, and Psalm 59. Now, we do not have time to sit here and read each psalm and really examine everything that is contained in these psalms. It would be a great use of our time, but I encourage you just to go home and to read these particular psalms, because these psalms give us a feeling of an insight into what David is thinking, what David is feeling as he's going through these particular circumstances. But I just want to highlight a verse or two from each psalm. How do you deal with somebody who is so powerful pursuing you and wanting to kill you? And you haven't done anything wrong. You've just been loyal to this guy. Look in Psalm 52, in verses 8 through 9. This is in a context when someone has reported David to Saul, Doeg the Edomite. Read about that in 1 Samuel 21 and 22. And so he's disappointed and he's upset at the way that he's been treated. And so how does he describe his relationship with God? Verses 8 and 9. He says, "But as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever. I will give you thanks forever because you have done it. And I will wait on your name, for it is good in the presence of your godly ones." David describes himself as an olive tree in the house of God. I think that's just a picture of his firmness in his faith. And I think you can see that from reading Psalm 1 as well. He's still firm in his faith, but notice his response to all of this. Verse 9, you got people lying on you, reporting you, trying to destroy you. I'm going to wait on you. I want you to think about it, whatever age you are, how difficult it is to wait, especially on the Lord. And here David is, a young man, and he says, I went from extreme success to running for my life and living in caves in the wilderness. People lying about me, destroying me. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to learn from this circumstance. I'm going to learn to wait on God. In Psalm 54, this is in a context where someone else has reported David's whereabouts. And in Psalm 54, in verse 4, when you can't depend on anybody, right? Who do you rely on? Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my soul. You have people turning you in for seemingly no reason, right? Some people who he learns would be willing to turn him in, he has done great good to. He said, well, I'm just going to learn from all of this betrayal. And I'm going to learn that it's God who's my helper. And I'm going to learn it's He who sustains me and who helps me through the difficulties of life. in Psalm 56. David is hiding out in Philistine territory. Again, on the run for his life. And I want you to notice verses 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. You know, don't take the human element out of these stories. David isn't walking around, I got nothing to worry about. Everything's great. I got my faith in God. He's terrified. But when I'm afraid, when enemies surround me, how am I going to respond? I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. But notice, David is not satisfied with that. Look at verse 4. In God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? See, I'm not just... When I get afraid, I'm not just going to turn to the Lord. I'm going to cultivate a relationship to the Lord so that I learn to trust in Him to such an extent that my fear goes away. That's what I'm going to be working on in my difficult moments. And in verses 8 through 11, I love David's attitude that, Lord, I know you know my hurt and my pain. He says in verse 8, you have taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in a bottle. Are they not in your book? Turn my enemies. Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in the Lord I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? David is learning through all of this to let his faith be greater than his fear. But sometimes our hurt is so great and we wonder if God cares, if God knows. And David says, with all of this going on, I know you've taken into account. I know you know. And I know, verse 9, you're on my side. Wow. So I'm going to learn through this to continually cultivate my faith and my growth so I improve in following you. In Psalm 59, Saul has sent men to watch David's house in order to kill him. His wife, Michal, who is Saul's daughter, helps him escape. You know, most of the Psalm, 17 verses, 15 verses, are crying out to God, begging for his help, recognizing the difficult situation that he is in. So when you got people watching your house, looking to kill you, and they're powerful people and can get away with it, you're distressed and you cry out to the Lord. But I want you to notice how the psalm ends. It says in verse 16, but as for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning, for you have been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you, for God is my stronghold, the God who shows me loving kindness. In times of difficulty and stress, is worship and praising God and singing to Him joyfully on our minds. Most of the time, it's how am I going to survive the situation? I need strength to get through. I'm just still so overwhelmed. And David feels all of that. And yet he says, I tell you, I still have joy to sing before you, and I still can be thankful and grateful, and I'm going to sing and I'm going to praise you because you, verse 16, are my stronghold and refuge in times of difficulty. This gives us an insight onto what he was thinking and feeling in some of his darkest times. His focus is not just to highlight everything that he's going through, but his focus is on growing and increasing his relationship with God. And I tell you, I wish the hardships of David ended with Saul, but sadly they did not. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David and his men are living in the city of Ziklag, and they have gone away for a few days, and they come back, and lo and behold, they find everything has been destroyed. And all of their families have been taken captive. Now, these are strong, hardened warriors. But when they come back and they see this, they weep uncontrollably, verse 4, and they weep so much that they lose their strength. And you know, in verse 6, 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, they are so angry and so frustrated at all of this situation that they want to kill David. Have you ever been in a circumstance where everybody is against you, nobody's on your side, everybody is opposed to you? What do you do? You know what David does, 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6? He strengthens himself in God. Now, I would love to hear some of your thoughts about how you think that he does that. I've got a few, and I never know when, but probably at one point we'll preach on that passage and that verse to challenge us with how that we strengthen ourselves in God. But his response is, I need strength to get through, and so he turns to the Lord for help. When no one is for you, when the world seems against you, when everyone hates you enough to kill you, where are you going to turn? David turns to the only one who can strengthen him and help him to face the challenge, and that is the Lord. Amen. There is so much that we could talk about with David's life. David experienced betrayal on so many levels. Psalm 41 in verse 9, he says, my friend who I love dearly, he lifted up his hand against me. David knew what betrayal felt like from the closest of friends. But David knew what betrayal felt like within his own family, as his son seeks to vie for the throne with the desire to kill him. And you know, in Psalm 3, when David has been betrayed by his own son and is forced to leave the city of Jerusalem because many in the city have turned their back on him and would rather have their son, he writes a psalm. You know, there's a lot of people, verse 2, who are saying, oh, God isn't going to save him this time. What do you do when you've been betrayed by someone that you love so dearly that you would have happily died in their place like he would have with Absalom? And people are belittling your faith and that God isn't going to save you in this circumstance. Let's read verses 3 through 6. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain, Selah. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. I don't care what other people say, Lord. I know you're going to protect me. I know you're going to take care of me. And I know that as I go through this, verse 5, the reason that I can sleep and the reason that I can get up in the morning are only by your helpful hand. And so I'm not afraid. That doesn't mean it wasn't a painful circumstance for David, but he wasn't afraid because he was confident in the Lord. Throughout whatever difficulties David faced, he turned to the Lord for his strength. He was confident that God had the power to help him. And he continually pursued a relationship with God. And David was faithful until the end of his life. We talked about a few weeks ago, how does David's story wrap up? He spends his time getting ready supplies so that everything will be prepared for Solomon to build the temple of the Lord. How awesome is that? He is so excited and passionate about God that the only thing that can stop his service for God here on this earth is physical death. David never uses age as an excuse not to serve God with his whole heart. David never said, well, you know, I'm just too young to do anything for the Lord. David never said, you know, I'm just too old now. I'm just going to pass it on to the next generation. Time to retire. When David was young, he said, I'm going to serve the Lord with my full heart. When David was old, he said, as long as God gives me breath, I'm going to spend it serving him. And I tell you what is sad is we might take for granted those who grow old in the Lord and die and go on to their reward. But let me just encourage you, read some of the endings of the stories of righteous kings and how the end of their life, they begin to drift from the Lord. Maybe it's because of bad advice that they got. Maybe it's because someone got their heart. Maybe it's because of riches or wealth or fame or something. But David's own son, 1 Kings 11, 1 through 11, drifted from the Lord at the end of his life. Asa, the righteous king, drifted from the Lord. And there are so many others that we could go through. So let me just make some final thoughts and observations to conclude this lesson, but I hope to kind of bring home the whole force of the lessons. Living faithfully is a choice. It is a choice that is going to take a lot of work. There are unique challenges that come with being young and being in high school and being in college and those early adult years. There's unique challenges, and sometimes people, younger people, might think that those who are older don't really appreciate their struggles. But it's difficult to live for God as a young person. And I think on the opposite side of that, sometimes those who are older, you have unique challenges and you have unique difficulties. And sometimes you feel disrespected by the younger ones because they don't understand some of the difficulties that you go through. Let's learn to celebrate those who are young and living for the Lord, and those who are old and living for the Lord. And I sometimes hear people make comments about their congregation. Well, we're an older group. Great. Learn from people who have decided that they're going to remain faithful till the end. Because there's a lot that older people can teach us and can encourage us in our walk with the Lord. And I'll let you decide what age bracket that you fall in. I won't make that judgment for you. I am amazed, though. I have learned things about service to the Lord from children who are 4 and 5 years old. And this was even before I had kids. That made me check my attitude. And made me check my priorities. And I'm moved by those who are older, who have every excuse to sit at home, but instead choose to come consistently worship the Lord. Never let age, whether young or old, limit you in any way. Because you can be a benefit to God and His people. An encouragement, an example for others. We pursue the things that we love. We pursue our hobbies because we love them. We go on vacation to areas that we want to see sights and enjoy the scenery and probably some good food. And perhaps even we plan things around our vacation around a certain event that we are passionate about. What made David pursue God when he was younger? What made David pursue God when he was running in the wilderness? What made David pursue God when he was being betrayed by Absalom? What made David pursue God when he was at the end of his life and he was told, no, you can't build the temple? And so he says, okay, fine. I'm going to spend my final years getting Solomon ready for building the temple. What pushed David forward? Well, that's pretty easy. He was just pursuing the one that he loved. Your relationship with God will not be a difficulty if you truly love him. And boy, David had a lot of ups and downs, and David made a lot of mistakes. And we've talked about that every week leading up until this point. But David just wouldn't quit pursuing God. If he sinned, he admitted it. He repented and he asked for God's help in renewing and refreshing him. If things were going well, if things were going difficult, it really didn't matter with David. He just kept pursuing the Lord. To those who truly love God, we will pursue Him. And so let me just ask you this morning, do we pursue God at every turn and every up and down throughout our life? Throughout every success, and throughout every failure and pain. Throughout every new friendship that we make, throughout every deep betrayal that we experience. I know that there were a lot of righteous people throughout the Bible, and there have been a lot of righteous people that have served the Lord with a whole heart. And yet there are so few who are described like David, a man after God's own heart, Daniel, highly favored. What a shame. What a shame that God doesn't look at you and me and all those who have borne His name throughout the centuries and say, there, a man and a woman after God's own heart. And so, as I look at the story of David, I can point out his mistakes. I can point out his positives. I can point out lessons that we can learn. But am I striving with everything inside of me to be described the same way that God described David? And that's not going to be easy. And there are going to be days that, yes, I'm on cloud nine. Everything's going great and service to the Lord just makes sense and it clicks. And there are going to be days that I'm running for my life and everybody hates me and wants to kill me. Am I going to serve God as much on my good days as my bad days? Am I going to truly be humble and repent and turn of my sins? Am I going to make the continual daily choice, no matter what, I'm going to serve the Lord? I want to be a man after God's own heart. And I know you want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart. And that is going to take a lot of effort, a lot of grace, and a lot of help from the Lord. Are we prepared to serve God with the fullness of heart, the willingness of mind, and the devoted heart that David has exemplified for us. I pray God helps me to truly be, not in the future, but right now, a man after his own heart.
Amen.
And I pray the same for you as well. Bow with me, please.